Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan. And Sports Radio 66. WFAN. New York.
Okay, and we are back with Paul Schwartz of the New York Post. He covers, of course, as everyone knows, the New York Football Giants. Paul, we've had a virtual draft. Can we call this a virtual interview?
Well, why didn't we Zoom this, Steve, right? Why didn't we, so I could see you staring into your laptop and you could see me staring into your laptop and we can kind of like, you know, the two of us are going to be like at bad angles and we're looking up each other's noses and things. That's what the world has come to now, right?
Well, wouldn't it be something if we did with the Zoom and you saw a dog sitting in front of a computer, which is what we did see with the Patriots. And during the virtual draft, and that dog, I think, has the title of assistant director of player personnel. And they didn't have the best draft in the world, and I think that dynasty is over. But that isn't why we have you on. First of all, I hope you, your family, your friends, you know, safe and sound and very, very healthy with what has been going on.
Same to you, Steve. Same to you, definitely. We had a Zoom Seder, actually, back on
Passover.
So did
we. Yeah,
it was great. Yeah. My father in Florida, 91 years old, God bless him. He was in on it. He was listening. Everything was great. And I could tell after about 45 minutes, he was like, well, I think we're going to go eat now. he actually zoomed us off to Seder to go eat. How about that?
Well, here's 6 degrees of separation, you know, 6 feet with the social distancing. But here's 6 feet of or 6 degrees of separation. My mother-in-law is 91. She just turned 91 the other day. And she, in Florida, was a part of the Zoom Seder that we had. And, of course, the state religion in the fall is the NFL. And one thing, they certainly have time to get into a number of contingencies if the virus is suiting up and getting in the way of everything. And we'll talk about that in a few moments or so. Let's talk about what we saw last night. We knew about the teams, of course, that the New York Football Giants were going to play. And we knew they were going to take on the AFC West and the NFC West and the Bears from the NFC North and what else with Tampa Bay, of course, from the NFC South. We didn't know the exact order. Give me your take, you know, in 140 characters or less before we get into each game, and I'm going to throw each game at you. But give me in 140 characters or less your overall take on the schedule.
Well, it's interesting, Steve. Quickly, you know, going into this, obviously, as you said, we knew who they were playing and where they were playing. We didn't know when. And based on last year's records, the Giants had the seventh easiest schedule in the league this year. You know, winning percentage of their opponents about 480 from last year. So you say, oh, that's you know, maybe they'll you know, that's a good schedule for them. And then all of a sudden they put them in the order, and I look at it and I go, holy cow, this is a tough schedule. So, look, the Steelers didn't have a great record. The Eagles didn't have a great record. The Bucks didn't have a great record. Did anybody think that those aren't going to be pretty good teams this year? So the Browns didn't have a good record. Mm. They're going to be better. So that whole seventh easiest schedule, I think you can take it and put it away somewhere. I think it's a pretty challenging schedule.
And only because you mentioned the Browns coming up in Week 15, you think there'll be some hype before that game?
You know what I like about that, Steve? I didn't want it to be early because early was going to be too much. And, look, Week 15, December 20th, the season goes on. We're going to know so much about the Browns and so much about the Giants that, look, Odell coming into MetLife Stadium is going to be a big deal. We know that. It's going to be very interesting. You know, I'm going to be able to write, 10 stories a day on that. It'd be great. But if it was early in the season, that's all it would be, right? The Odell revenge game. Now it's going to be, are the Browns pushing for a playoff spot? Are the Giants in big trouble? The Giants a little better than we thought. So you're going to have football and you're going to have Odell, and we'll see which one it takes precedent. Hopefully it's the football because that means these teams are relevant.
Oh, sure. And, of course, maybe getting as much play or even maybe bigger play will be that game against Tampa Bay in week number 8. And, of course, it's a Monday night football game. The Giants with how many? A couple of Monday night football games and a Thursday night game and prime time for a New York football Giants team that maybe you wouldn't expect to get even one or two primetime games, Paul.
No, Steve, the Giants are a big draw. You know that? They're a big draw. It's the first time in the 51-year history of Monday Night Football they have two home Monday night games. Mm-hmm. So that's interesting. But the Giants always are going to have three primetime games. They're going to have the Thursday night game. They're going to have at least one Monday night game. This year they don't have a Sunday night game. But look, the Giants are the Giants. They're always a big draw. Now, they've been a pretty crummy team the last few years. I don't question that. But look, who would have thought a few months ago if I told you, Steve, I got an inkling the Giants and Tampa are going to be Monday night? You would have said, no, I don't think so. And then once Tom Brady went to Tampa, you'd say, oh, now I get it.
Yeah, and of course, Gronkowski, the whole thing. I mean, even now you get such press and such attention and such, I mean, one report with this and what Brady is doing and, I mean, everything right now, a month before the season. And of course, the week before, or actually about 10 days before, they have that Thursday nighter against Philadelphia. So they go from week 7 to week number 8, and they got about 9-10 days off, Paul.
They do. It's strange. It's kind of like you don't need that's an odd one because usually when you have a Thursday night game, you have those 10 days off. You don't need the 11th day, right? When you have a regular game on a Sunday, then you have a Monday night game. It's like, great, my team's got an extra day, 8 games, so now we can rest up. The difference between 10 and 11 is really you don't need it. That was an odd quirk in the schedule there. But, two primetime games, week 7, week 8. Look, the Giants have to hold up their end of the bargain or else the nation is going to look at that and say, really, the Giants again? We had the crummy Giants last week. We got to have them again on this week. So, we'll see. We'll see. We'll see if they can hold up their end of the bargain. As we all know, they haven't for several years.
And here's the thing. I mean, and also somewhat of an oddity, 5 of the 6 NFC East games that they are going to be playing between weeks 5 and 10. That's also in and out real quick with the NFC East ball.
Yes, it's going to be kind of like having your neighbor over, right? You have between starting week 5, you have Cowboys, Redskins, Eagles, then the Bucks, then the Redskins, then the Eagles. So Redskins, Eagles, twice in a 5-week period. So. Familiarity will be there. I don't know who it benefits or it doesn't benefit, but it's kind of odd. We heard there was some rumblings that the league was going to have, the first 4 games were not going to be any division games. In case they had to cancel those games, that was obviously not the case. But the Giants do not have any division games in the first 4. Steelers, Bears, 49ers, Rams, and so you have none the first month, and then bang, they just come one after another.
And you bring up one of the major contingency plans, because what is it? Every team scheduled for two at home, two on the road in September. So what is it if the NFL can't start on time? And that's a possibility as we speak now. You take what? These early weeks of the season, and I guess what you do, obviously so, is move them in back of week 17.
I guess, because then, right, you won't have, you know, everyone will have the same amount of home and away games. You know, I'm not really good with these schedule machinations. You know, some people really have that kind of mind that they look at, oh, I see what they're doing here. But, yeah, I think there's clearly been some speed bumps here in these. Look, you have to be crazy not to have contingency plans, right, Steve? I mean, you know, I don't know about your life, but I know my life. You know, I go by day to day and no more than week to week because, my last haircut was 7 weeks ago, for goodness sakes. I'm getting a little shaggy here. And so there's, look, nobody knows. And that's the thing, I think, Steve, that's kind of frightening in a way, is that you listen to the politicians, you listen to the commissioners, you listen to your friends, you know, you listen to people you think are smart, and there's a lot of theories and a lot of, you know, smart people, some not smart people giving opinions, but no one really knows. You know, Adam Silver doesn't really know, Roger Goodell doesn't really know, you know, Governor Cuomo doesn't really know. People don't really know. They're speculating, they're having opinions and having contingency plans, but we've never gone through this before, so we don't know what this will look like. Will there be college football? Will the students be back on campus in August and September? Will the NBA start up? Will you know? And I found it very bittersweet, Steve. I don't know about you, but you know, I look forward to the schedule, obviously, like all the fans do. But I look forward to it from a real business point of view. Where am I going? You know, when am I going? Where? I see there's a preseason game the second week of the preseason. I'm in Tennessee. Okay, I'm going to take a flight to Nashville. Okay, second week of the season. And the Bears, that's good. Can't be too cold in Chicago in September 20th, right? You know, you look at these things, right? Fourth week, I'm in L.A., and then I thought to myself, am I going to be making these trips? Do I want to be making these trips? Are those games going to come off? What is it going to look like on a flight to L.A.? Am I going to be in the press box? Am I going to have my temperature taken before I get in the press box? So, so many questions, you know, it's enough to give you a real, real headache.
And, you know, and what you make me think of course, if some of those games in the first 4 weeks, including game number two, second week of the season, where the Giants have to play in Chicago, if that is moved in back of week 17, the weather in Chicago would be certainly tolerable and okay to be playing some football in September. But you can imagine if that game is moved in back of week 17, what the weather would be like at Soldier Field.
Well, how about the Jets, right? The Jets get a real bonus, right? The Jets open the season in Buffalo. Can you have a better opening in Buffalo? It might be 80 degrees in Buffalo. Now all of a sudden you say that's going to go at the end of the season? That's a whole different story, isn't it?
And their schedule, listen, the Giants are playing patsies compared to the schedule for the New York Jets, as you know. I mean, they have to go to Kansas City. They have to go to Seattle. And their schedule, as you know, the second toughest. Joe Judge, is he ready to be the head coach of the New York football Giants, Paul Schwartz of the New York Post?
Well, that's a big question. I've been impressed with what I've seen so far. I think he's very prepared. I think he's smart. I loved what he said last week about I thought it was really, really insightful when he was talking about, look, the X's and O's, these remote meetings, these Zoom calls we're doing, very important, the X's and O's, but he said, just as or maybe more important is the bonding that we're missing, you know, and I thought it was great the way he phrased it. He said, sitting on the steps after practice, taking off your cleats, walking off the field, the lunch table conversations that make a team and bond with these new players and new coaches. We don't have that now. So we have to try to figure out remotely through our tablets and laptops how to get this connection. And it was interesting. You know, how many coaches have said this? He said, I'm trying to encourage my players play more video games with each other. You know, that's what that generation does. They love playing video games. So, you play more video games, kind of, bond that way. Give each other, rag on each other in video games, on Madden and these other games, basketball, and just do that and get to know each other. So I think a lot of the preparation, I think his staff is excellent. You know, I think his staff is light years better than Pat Shurmur's staff, so that's a plus. Now, what nobody knows, Steve, and what we're going to have to find out, hopefully starting week number one, September 14th, is in the third quarter, it's third and three, is he going to run, right, is he going to throw, is he going to go for it on fourth down, you know, all the stuff that you don't know about his game management and his calm under pressure, that's what a head coach is. He did it as a special teams coordinator. It's very different. So I think he'll be prepared. I think he'll be smart. I think he'll get his team ready to play. And I know that this staff will teach fundamentals better than the previous staff. What you don't know is when the lights are on and the pressure's on, how does he handle it? He's a 38-year-old guy, and he's never done this before.
And here's another thing. We all used to make fun, certainly dripping with sarcasm, tongue-in-cheek, with Jason Garrett when he was the head coach of America's team. Now he's the offensive coordinator. Wait a minute. Now we have to change our thinking. Or if you're a Giants fan, certainly you have to reverse course. No more are you going to be making fun of Jason Garrett, or are we?
Well, if we're making fun of Jason Garrett, something's wrong. Look, Jason, I think it's very interesting. He's a guy who was very respected. You know, Jason Garrett had a lot of success in Dallas, except in the playoffs, right? And they were perceived as an underachieving team, and I have no problem with that perception. I think in a lot of ways that was true. Last year, I thought they were terrifically talented. You know, they have a great offensive line. They have a great running back. They have an ascending young quarterback. They have guys on defense, and they kind of, you know, the Cowboy fans are kind of like, you know, is this all there is? And so, you know, after 10 years, it ran its course. That's fine. But he's still a smart guy. He knows the Giants. He was a backup quarterback here. I think it's going to work well. The thing I'm interested in is, you know, is Jason Garrett double parked? Or is he, you know, put his car in a garage and he's going to be here for the long term? Because if the Giants have a good year and Daniel Jones has a good year and their offense looks really good, I think in a year or two, maybe just 1 year, people might be saying, you know what? Boy, I like what the Giants did on offense. Maybe we should take a look at Jason Garrett as a head coach. So, you know, you don't want that. You know, not that you want to hold back anybody, but you want a guy who's going to be here and be committed. And I have no reason to think Jason Garrett will not be committed. But, you know, I just wonder, he's kind of a funky assistant that you hire. You know what I mean? You know, all these coordinators, you want them to kind of be so good that somebody else wants them, but not right away. So it'll be interesting to see that whole dynamic. You know, this guy's puts a, you know, NFL, you know, Freddie Kitchens was an NFL coach for about 10 minutes. You know, Garrett's been there for a decade. So it's a great resource, but it'll be interesting to see how that dynamic goes because, you know, Judge is not an offensive guy or a defensive guy. So he's going to give those guys a lot of rein on both sides of the ball.
And you'd like to think, although, I mean, we can overthink, but you would like to think taking on America's team, and twice the Giants will do this season, of course, Garrett, you would think, might provide some insight with what they do. But again, if you're McCarthy and you're the staff, the coaching staff with Dallas, you've got to be thinking that maybe Garrett might be telling the Giants this, so maybe we better be doing this over here, that kind of thing.
Well, scheme-wise, I think, you know, it's not going to work because it's a whole new scheme McCarthy's bringing in. But personnel-wise, absolutely. I mean, you know, Jason Garrett will be able to recite chapter and verse. Every guy that he had the last few years in Dallas, he will be able to give Joe Judge and that staff such a detailed report on the strengths and weaknesses and quirks of each player on that team. And don't forget, they have Mark Colombo, the offensive line coach, also. And he will certainly, now that's a terrific offensive line. It's, I don't know what kind of chinks there is in that armor. But, I mean, that will help. There's no question that will help. I mean, Jason Garrett will be able to tell Joe Judge everything he needs to know about that personnel.
And the Giants, you would like to think, might be able to beat Philadelphia for a change, Paul.
No. No. Seven in a row, Steve. Six in a row at the Link. Now, you know what's interesting is Joe Judge is from a suburb of Philly. You know, he said he's got, you know, a lot of his family was Eagles fans. So, you know, I mean, he grew up, you know, he was an Eagles guy. So, you know, that will be a homecoming when he goes back to Philly. You know, he's got that kind of Philly swagger a little bit, Judge, that kind of Philly wise guy-ish a little bit. So, that will be near and dear to his heart, that game. look, the Giants have to do better in their division. They're what are they, 4-14 the last 4 years in their division? Something like that. Yeah, so, you know, unacceptable. I mean, beating the Redskins, fine, but you got to split. Sometimes you got to sweep. You know, there's the Giants, Steve, this year are favored one time this year. It's, you know, at the start of the season, one game they're favored. So, you know, the odds makers don't think a lot of them. And, you know, in the only game they're favored is home against the Redskins. That's it. The other five division games, they're underdogs or it's a push.
Mm-hmm. And they're not going to be favored against Cincinnati.
No, not right now. Now, look, that's where is that? That's, you know, that's week 12. So you never know. I mean, right? I mean, you know.
Yeah, sure.
Right now, they're not. Then you never know. Is Joe Burrow playing well? Is he playing at all? Is he hurt? Is he tearing it up? Does he look like a rookie? That's coming off their bye. You know, look, it's fun. That's the most fun thing about the schedule when it comes out. Then you look at it and you say, oh, they have this, they have that. They're coming off a bye. Then they go to Cincinnati. Then they go to Seattle. That's a tough stretch. Look, Cincinnati won two games last year. I mean, if the Giants can't compete with the Bengals, I don't care how good Joe Burrow is, it's going to be a long year.
Yeah, and they have Higgins, too. So we know they have two players who you would say right off the bat at this point that that's an improvement at quarterback. I mean, Dalton was Dalton, I thought, might have signed, by the way, with New England. I was a little bit surprised where he did go. But the bottom line is with Burrow and Higgins, at least they're at quarterback and wide receiver, they're a little bit more with the upgrade. Yeah, the interesting thing is, and you have really, in the time you've been with us now, since about 11:20-ish or so, bottom line is you have made it pretty clear, and we all know that even though we are looking at the 2020 schedule and we're looking at tough teams and who should be favored and who should be winning, and of course it's all guessing and speculation. We're filling some time and some space while we're social distancing and in isolation with the quarantining and staying 6 feet apart from everything and everybody. The bottom line, what a team did last year is no guarantee that they're going to be as good or better this season. There are so many factors to take into consideration, which you've been touching on, including injuries, Paul.
Yeah, and you know what, Steve? It's interesting about that, about injuries, because the common thoughts with the Giants now are teams like the Giants who have a new coach and a new staff, they're going to get hammered in this virtual, remote we can't be in the building. You know, teams that have continuity are going to be able to pick it up much more. And that's probably true. But the Giants also are an incredibly young team. So maybe does that help the Giants down the stretch of this, where it hurts them as far as having no continuity and being a new team with a new staff and not being able to meet? Maybe their youth will help them down the road. Mm-hmm. You know, they have a defensive backfield, which I think is very interesting. The oldest guy is James Bradbury. He's 26. Mm-hmm. So maybe down the stretch of the season, those young legs will stay young and be there. Look, as we all know, Steve, every year, what is it, four teams that didn't make the playoffs one year make the playoffs the next year. Mm-hmm. For so many years in a row that's happened. And it's so easy to say that's a win, that's a win, that's a loss, that's a loss, that's a loss. But every year, four teams that made the playoffs are out and four new ones are in. So that's the hard part, picking who is going to be out and who is going to be in. I'm not saying the Giants are going to be in, but there's a bunch of teams on this schedule the Giants are playing that you and I are looking at and saying, I think that's a playoff team. They were a playoff team last year, and they're not going to make it. It's just the way it is. Look at the Bears in the second week. 2 years ago, he's named the coach of the year, Nagy. Last year, they're not a playoff team, and they got all kinds of quarterback turmoil. So, you know, 1 year to the next, other than some of the really, really good teams, look at the Rams from 2 years ago to last year. Could the 49ers be that kind of team? I don't know. I don't think so, but I didn't think it with the Rams either, and it happened.
Well, you make a good point, and the Rams are with the adjustment because they don't have Gurley anymore, and they don't have cooks anymore, and so they're a little bit different. And the bottom line is that Jared Goff has been a little bit exposed. And you make the great example from what you're talking about is with the 49ers 2 years ago with all those losses last year in the Super Bowl. So they're a little bit with some changes. And again, how do we go about grading a draft? I guess we could really grade a draft with any team, Giants, Jets, 49ers, you name it, from, what, 3 to 5 years from now, if even that long. But it's interesting to note that when the Giants take on the Bears, you're wondering, is it going to be Trubisky or is it going to be Nick Foles?
Well, that's, you know, if you were doing sports talk in Chicago, I mean, you'd be talking about that every day, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean,
they didn't pick up the fifth-year option on Trubisky. This is the guy we all know they traded up for, and they passed on Mahomes, right? I mean, you know, these are things that get people fired. So, yeah, I mean, you look at that right away. Look, in game one, is it going to be Roethlisberger? We think so, but we don't know. He hasn't played in a whole year. You know, people think he's 400 pounds. I mean, who knows? This year is going to be very funky. You know, we don't know when these teams are going into training camp. Eventually they will. They can't play without training camp. So then we'll hear who's there and who's not and who looks good and who doesn't. So, yeah, when you're a team like the Bears who went from so good 2 years ago to so not good last year, and now you have brought in Foles, who was supposed to be a savior in Jacksonville, right? And now he came and went through there, and now he's with the Bears. Who knows? Who knows? But that's, look, when you have two of those guys, you probably have none. You know, I think the Giants are happy with Daniel Jones and happy they don't have to be in that kind of situation where you're sitting up to get Mitch Trubisky, and now, you know, most of the league doesn't think he can play.
Yeah, no, I know. Well, he was awful last year. I mean, they were better than, I believe their record was 8-8. They had a very good defense. They were expected to make the postseason, but obviously, as you know, Trubisky was awful. And the guess is, because there's supposed to be a competition with the Foles, probably would be starting. They might, who knows, out of, listen, maybe Trubisky does start opening day. But if he starts opening day, it might be a surprise to a lot of people in Chicago because everyone there wants Nick Foles. And again, you know, we'll see about what happens. We have to take into consideration the virus. It's still out there. It's still at large. At least the NFL is thinking about what happens if it's still around, making another wave in the fall, as all the scientists and the doctors have been talking about. So everything is up in the air. I don't even think, by the way, Paul, that we're going to have any NBA. I don't know about the NHL, what they can do and what they will do. I just can't see the NBA getting into the rest of their season. They may have to start playing basketball in December, and let's hope by December, you know, we're into, well, who knows? I mean, I don't know what to think. There is so much unknown. We would love to see, of course, the NFL start in September on time. And if they do, Paul, I don't think there's going to be any fans. And my last question to you would be, would the Giants, and for that matter, the Jets as well, but would the Giants be playing any home games if they do start the season on time, and maybe it's a little bit more relaxed, less restrictions, less hospitalizations, less intubations with the virus in other parts of the country, but here in New York City, and of course with the Meadowlands, and with everything right here, and the virus certainly having its presence felt, unfortunately, way too much. Even one life loss is too much. The bottom line, can you imagine no home games for the New York Football Giants?
No, I don't see that. Look, we're talking about September. It's only May, right? So we have most of May, June, July, August. That's 4 months and then a couple of weeks in September. You know, we've seen these you know, curves and the flattening and you're peaking and this is getting lower. Now things are opening up. That's a long stretch of time, Steve. I don't think we're looking at this and saying, well, we can't let anyone fly into New York, period. We can't play in New York. There's too much death and destruction in New York. So I don't see that. I think if the league is going to open up, it's going to open up. Now a lot of cities are starting to open up on limited basis. So that's almost like a petri dish to see what happens. And if there's a recurrence, things like that. Steve, when I look at all these sports, here's what I think. Mm-hmm. When you hear the contingencies, you say, okay, maybe they're going to play the NBA in Disney World, right? Maybe they'll play it in Vegas. Maybe they'll go to Arizona. Maybe baseball will only play here. To me, once you start taking these sports and taking all these athletes and trying to put them in a bubble or a cocoon or making them unlike everybody else, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Now, there are going to be contingencies when these leagues start, but I don't think you can make it. We're going to have all the NBA players. We're going to test them all. Then we're going to go into an isolated place. Then we're going to play. And I don't think that works. I don't think you can test hundreds and hundreds of athletes when there are thousands and thousands of people who can't get tests. Mm-hmm. So it's not Roman gladiators where we put them in pens and we make them different from everybody. And then we just, slaughter them. I don't think it's going to work. I don't think that you can take these athletes and say, we're going to quarantine, we're going to rush you through the airport in bubbles and so nobody breathes. That's not going to happen. There are people, they're brothers and sisters and husbands, and so they have to be treated like people. So I think that's what's going to happen. And look, nobody has an answer, and it is for every five things you tell me that makes sense, somebody else can tell you five things to counter that. So I'm glad it's above my pay grade. I think it's very hard. People say they don't have the answers. Of course they don't have the answers. We've never done this before. So I just, when I look at the sports, look, Steve, it's what we do, right? We're in the sports business, so we're more consumed about it than maybe other people are. But I think so many other things have to get right before they can do sports, which is a social thing that I think those things are not right yet. And when they're much more right, then we can start thinking of opening up and getting out the bats and the balls and the football helmets.
Well, your heart is in the right place. There's no question about that. We're more important than any games, humanity, human life. That goes without saying. And certainly what we talk about now, wearing a mask and with the social distancing and the quarantining and stay 6 feet away, in any NFL game, you're not getting any of that. So it has to be safe, not only for the players, but certainly for the fans, and that's all of us and everybody else as well. Paul, I can't thank you enough for a little bit more here than a half hour. All the best to you. Stay safe, stay sound, stay healthy, and be well, the whole thing, and take care of yourself. And thanks so much for giving us the time.
All right. Anytime, Steve. Take care of yourself as well.
All right. Paul Schwartz of the New York Post will take a break. We'll be getting to your calls. We could talk schedule. We could talk Major League Baseball. Paul touched on the NBA, and things look pretty grim for them, according to Adam Silver. So there's lots to talk about. No, from the 1-877-337-6666, number to call on your fan, New York City.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.